Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God in Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Let's start by reading our four foundational scriptures for this teaching. And please note that for this study, I will be quoting from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me, bless his holy name. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercies." Verse number 5. "Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle." Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. "But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken, struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus. And by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word, and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah. So that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, he himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases." Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 verse, verse 24. "He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed." Amen. Again, all these scriptures and many more like them tell us that Jesus took our sicknesses, pains, and diseases on himself, so that we believers would not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. Now I want to continue where I left off last week before I ran out of time. We had just started examining the healing redemptive work that Jesus paid on our behalf. I want us to read from four passages in the New Testament that talk about our redemption in Jesus. Let's start by reading from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 8 through 12. Verse number 8 says, "But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified, declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood, how much more certain is it that we will be saved from the wrath of God through him?" Verse number 10. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain, having been reconciled, that we will be saved from the consequences of sin by his life. That is, we will be saved because Christ lives today. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation with God. Verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, so death spread to all people, no one being able to stop it or escape its power because they all sin." Now, before we go on to the second passage, I want to again highlight those key phrases that will help us to understand how God sees his children. Those of us who have called on the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we have been reconciled. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So in verse number 8, down at the very end of that verse, it says, "We were sinners or still sinners. Christ died for us." Now, this is an offering that was made by Jesus the Christ willingly for all mankind. When we were still sinners, he died for us. In verse number 9, in the first part of that verse, it says, "Now been justified or declared free of the guilt of sin by his blood. So when Jesus completed his assignment on that cross, he brought justification. In other words, he declared us free of the guilt of sin by his blood. All that is required of mankind individually is to accept that free gift. Verse number 10. The second portion of that verse says, we will be saved from the consequences of sin as a result of accepting the gift of salvation. We have been reconciled, and as a result of the reconciliation, we will be saved from the consequences of sin. And then the last phrase that I want to highlight is found in verse number 11. Last part of that verse says, now received and enjoyed our reconciliation with God. Now remember those key words that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. I gave you some very important definitions. And one of those words was reconciliation that I defined. And that means to be brought back or brought back into favor. And that's what has happened to us as Christians. We have accepted the gift of salvation, and it has reconciled us back to the Heavenly Father. Let's continue by reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It says, but it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, revealing his plan of salvation and righteousness, making us acceptable to God, and sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God, and redemption, providing our ransom from the penalty for sin. Oh boy, this one verse captures all those important words as to how God sees us in Jesus Christ. And those of us who've accepted the gifts of salvation can shout for joy. I want to read pretty much the whole scripture, starting with Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. He has given us back the wisdom of God as a result of us being come out of a dead spirit into a alive spirit, an alive spirit with eternal life. And as a result of this wisdom, he has revealed his plan of salvation to us. Righteousness, making us acceptable to God. Sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God. And then redemption, providing our ransom from the penalty for sin. This is good news. Amen and amen. Now please go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read two verses, 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs crucified on a tree, cross, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might also come to the Gentiles, so that we would all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Oh my goodness, this is awesome. Now, for those of you that have been with me from the beginning, know that we did a very short, concise study on blood covenant. And we started in the book of Genesis, where it all began under Abraham. So this passage here is making reference to the covenant that we discussed earlier in this teaching. So let's go back to verse 13. I want to read the first part of that verse. It is so awesome. It says, Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. All of us are sinners, and all of us need salvation. That redemption that we received as a Christian came from Jesus the Christ, and he redeemed us so that we wouldn't have to pay for the penalty of our sins, past, present, or future. Verse 14. I like to read the first part of the verse as well as that very last part. I want to emphasize what this verse is telling us. It says, in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might also come to the Gentiles. So those of us who are not Jewish, we know that our salvation comes from Jesus the Christ, who is in covenant through the Heavenly Father with Abraham. It was Abraham and his faithfulness that made way for the birth of our Savior and Lord. Then the last portion of that scripture says, all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. So those of us under the New Testament have to operate by faith. And our faith is based on God's word, because his word is truth and it will never change. And finally, let's please go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read a couple of verses, starting with verse 13. We're going to read 13 through 16. Starting with verse 13, it says, but now, at this moment, in Christ Jesus, you who once were so very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace and our bond of unity. He who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one body and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall of spiritual antagonism between us. Verse 15, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law, with its commandments contained in ordinance, which he satisfied, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thereby establishing peace. Last verse, verse 16. And that he, Jesus, might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, united in one body to God through the cross, thereby putting to death the hostility. Now I want to emphasize a couple of important phrases found in verse 13, 14, and 16. In verse 13, the last part of that verse says, brought near by the blood of Christ. That's what has happened to us, those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. We have been brought back or reconciled by the blood of Jesus. Verse 14, first part says, he himself, referring to Jesus, is our peace and our bond of unity. Amen. Our peace and unity. And then in the last emphasis I want to make is found in verse 16. The first portion of that verse says, he, Jesus, reconciled both Jew and Gentile, united in one body to God through the cross. So there is no longer any division between Jew and Gentile. We are all one family in Jesus Christ, and we got the same victory, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus. I have taken the time to read these passages to you so that you will know for yourself that the work Jesus completed is not only finished, but forevermore established for our benefit. Our gift of salvation includes the covenant right to divine healing, not because we are perfect, but rather because Jesus is perfect and is on his blood that we were healed on the cross, that he willingly laid his life on. You need to understand this godly principle. If you want to live victorious in Jesus, when we pray about our health, we are not asking to be healed in the future. Rather, we are claiming our healing right that was paid for almost 2,000 years ago by our Savior and Lord. Now listen carefully what I'm about to say. You are already healed in Jesus. What you are doing by praying is putting a demand in the spirit realm to claim what already belongs to you. Sickness and disease are part of the curse and is Satan's plan of deception to steal, kill, and destroy us. However, Satan is defeated and under our feet if Christians use God's word in faith to speak life to the situation. Our faith words or faith confessions should always line up with the promises of God, never the negative circumstances of life. Remember, everything in this world is subject to change, except God's word. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Family, it is good news to know that that battle, spiritual battle, has been fought and won in Jesus Christ. So we don't have to do any work other than accept what God has already provided us in Christ Jesus and then operate in faith. Again, I say that our Heavenly Father always intended that mankind live in good health and prosperity. However, when Adam sinned against God, Adam opened the door for Satan to pervert all the good that God made for man. Please turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And he validated it completely, that there was evening and there was morning, a sixth day. Now, family, again, that first part of the verse I want to highlight. It said that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, family, but very good. Now, I don't know about you, but sickness, financial lack, and racial hatred is not good in my book. Unfortunately, I have experienced all of these kinds of evil against me and my family, and it does not feel good or benefit our well-being. We know based on scripture that God did not create, nor did he inflict any kind of evil against us. However, because he created us with a free will, we can choose, knowingly or unknowingly, to give Satan a place in our life to steal, kill, and or destroy us. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, the Lord records his covenant rights to the saints. In the first 14 verses of this chapter, of 68 verses, he tells us that if we are obedient to his word, his blessings will overtake us. In the following 54 verses, he warns us what will happen if we disobey his commandments and how Satan will come against us. Please turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter, starting with verse number 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently listen to and obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city, and you will be blessed in the field. The offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your animals, and the offspring of your herd, and the young of your flock will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading bowl will be blessed. Verse 6. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, but flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy and set apart to himself, just as he has swore to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk, that is, live your life each and every day in his ways. So all the people of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid or respect you. The Lord will give you great prosperity in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your livestock and the produce of your livestock and the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. I'm so sorry, family. I am out of time. But please return next week as we continue our study on Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right. Thank you for sharing this time with us, and if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.